Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you're having a fantastic Thursday so far. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything, excuse me, is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you haven't found along via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, if you can't catch us live, we're available in podcast form on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free. While you're there, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars. Write a little review, too. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. And for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. It takes with you in the car, gym, office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, too, just because we really need the likes. Facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. Okay, so it's Thursday. Not too much more to talk about before we get to the end of the week and we start, you know, getting in holiday mode. And, wow, I didn't even realize that yesterday was our 300th podcast. So today marks 301. I just went and looked at the iTunes list, and apparently yesterday was our 300th show. So we kind of sort of passed the milestone and didn't even know it. But, you know, while I have you guys' attention on that regard, and this, I mean, I literally just looked at the iTunes page as I'm talking to you guys. So thank you for listening. If you've told anybody about the show, if you've listened, if it's your private little secret, we appreciate that. Thank you for, you know, we've got over 100,000 listens over the last 4.5, going on 5 years, and we, you know, we greatly appreciate everybody that's been riding with us from the start, or people that are new to the program and just, you know, starting to catch on to us in this temporary format, when we still hope to get back to doing an hour show in the middle of the week during a weeknight. So that's probably, you know, what All Subjects Everything is best at. But just in, you know, doing this show every day, just to kind of sort of let people listen in segments as they choose, you know, throughout the course of the week, has been pretty dope for us as well. So we made the 300. Actually, today is 301, so tomorrow will be 302. But, yep, yesterday was 300. It's probably one of our best ones since we came back, you know, last month. So greatly appreciate y'all for listening, and maybe we'll do something special when we get to 400 next year, if we get to 400 next year. We'll see. Time will tell. In any event, Unsung capped off its fall season last night with the tragic tale of the greatest hip-hop singer, the king of the hooks, Mr. Nate Dogg. And that episode was just as sad as, you know, any of the other, you know, miserable unsungs, which are far and few in between in the series, but there are some sad ones. And Nate's is probably up there. You know, he really generally killed himself with alcohol and drugs. That's pretty much, you know, what I took from Unsung last night, is that he couldn't leave the bottle alone. Because Snoop and his wife visited him after the first stroke or the second stroke. And Snoop's wife said, "I thought you quit her." And Nate said, "I can't leave her alone." Thought he was talking about a girl. Snoop was. But then he said he looked down and saw a bottle of Henny at his feet and was like, "Oh, yeah." So, I mean, and his brother, Nate, said Nate Dogg would drink 2/5 of Hennessy a day. Now, mind you, I don't drink. So I don't know how powerful Hennessy is, but all I know is that I see people talking about, you know, the side effects of that drink. So to drink 2/5 of it a day sounds really, really excessive. And for the way that they described his last 2.5 years, he couldn't move anything from the neck down, couldn't really talk, had to communicate through using his eyes, using a board that his mom or his sister would be holding up. For 2.5 years, that's probably torture. That's probably worse than death itself, I would think. You know, not being able to, you know, control, you know, anything. Can't express yourself verbally, with your hands or anything. You can't walk. You know, that, oh man, that's a horrible way to live, and it's just a horrible way to die. It's tragic. Nate should still be giving us these incredible hooks to this day. Because when you look back on everything that the man's ever been on, they only scratched the surface of the stuff that Nate was on yesterday. Of course, they talked about Regulate, which is, of course, one of the greatest songs of the 90s. Then there, of course, was, you know, his solo stuff. You know, they didn't even talk about 50 Cent with 21 Questions, which is probably, you know, the hook people most know him for. And then, of course, there was Oh No with Pharoah Monch and Mos Def. Still, you know, more collaborations with Warren G. You know, Lay Low with Snoop. Like, you could go on and on. Like, just Google Nate Dogg. I mean, the man's catalog speaks for itself. And he figured it out early on that while it was good to be a solo artist, people would recognize him more and pay him more if he, you know, lended his assistance to other rappers and artists. And that's exactly what he did. And Exhibit himself, Nate would tax you. And then when Warren G and Exhibit went on to explain that he did his own thing in the studio, like he was pretty much producing himself within, you know, working on somebody else's track. Like, he would write his own verses, he would write his own hooks, he would, you know, arrange his own harmonies and things. Nate Dogg was a musician. He was a talent. And when you're doing all of that, I assume, you know, working out the melodies in your head, you know, writing your own stuff, you know, and it being accepted, that means, you know, that's money. That's money. Because writing your own stuff definitely helps with the publishing and, you know, royalties and all of that stuff. So Nate figured out early on that it probably was best for him to be the king of the hooks. And nobody did it better. Another song he did with Warren G, Nobody Does It Better. Nobody did it better than Nate Dogg. So yeah, that put the capper on a good fall run for Unsung. 7 solid episodes. Casey and the Sunshine Band led off. Then my personal favorite, Kashif. Then Shantae Moore and Lakeside. H-Town. Jennifer Holliday last week. And now Nate Dogg. And that's the 7 episodes that TV One had promised us for the fall swing. And those are the 7 we got. And they were all pretty damn good. But next weekend is probably going to set it off for all of us Unsung fans. For those of us who really don't have any plans, I really hope, I'm praying I don't get a football. I mean, actually, you know, for work, you know, the last thing for my job, my part-time job, is the high school football playoffs. Next week is the semifinals here in the state of Delaware. Will I get a semifinal game? I doubt it. I wouldn't mind it, but if I don't, I'm not going to be hurt because I'm going to be watching Unsung all weekend, pretty much. TV One is airing all 99 episodes from Thanksgiving night all the way through Sunday. So that's Thursday night, all day Friday, excuse me, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And then, you know, for, I guess, their 100th retrospective, it will be the great Donnie Simpson, who signed on with Radio 1 earlier this year, and by extension, you know, will be lending his talents to TV 1, will count down the top 10 unsungs of all time. So that is my Thanksgiving weekend in a nutshell. Leftovers, football, and unsung. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. In other television news, we have the Scandal winter break finale tonight. And when we last left Olivia Pope and her band of misfits, her father, Eli, was chained to a chair with crazy-ass Huck grilling him as the show went off the air last Thursday night. And this is still with a lot of things up in the air, like Melly had threatened to blackmail Liv about, you know, setting Eli free, but Olivia had already been arrested because Cyrus was overzealous and really wants Olivia out of the picture, when Fitz has probably told Cyrus to step off. So now Melly's kind of in the air as to what happens to her now, because it's obvious that nothing, and I do mean nothing, is going to stop Fitzgerald Thomas Grant from getting him some Olivia Carolyn Pope. Like, they are, like, for better or for worse, those two are chained together. That's the episode. That's the episode in a nutshell. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight. You know, will Eli, a.k.a. Rowan Pope, finally bite the dust? Or will Huck, you know, find himself, you know, finally free, for real, if you get my drift? It's going to be a fun night. Going to be a fun night of television. I mean, the only other thing on tonight, obviously, I've never watched How to Get Away with Murder, so I'm just going to, you know, let that show pass me by. I may decide to binge watch it if I can find the time and somewhere to watch it. But I just, you know, after Scandal, I would just be so, you know, done. You know, I couldn't really follow up with, you know, How to Get Away with Murder. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to Scandal tonight, you know, as they go on break until, because let's see, next week is Thanksgiving, so obviously it'll be like a whole day of Thanksgiving stuff, and then you've got, you know, different football bowl games and different things that'll probably happen on a Thursday, so they get a break. Same thing's going to happen with Empire, and I'm not looking forward to that, because Lee Daniels talking about Empire won't be coming back until March 30th, and I'm like, 4 months? A four-month break? Are you kidding? 4 months? Why? But we got two episodes left. So that's the good news. We get next Wednesday, we get December 2nd, and then nothing until March 30th. Drip, dribbity, drop, indeed. But this episode of Empire was kind of reinforcing the fact that it has kind of fallen off the map after the first year, which you know, so successful, because nothing really makes sense anymore about these guest appearances. Like, Vivica Fox just randomly shows up as Cookie's sister. Well, at least we know Cookie's real name now, which is Laretha. That makes perfect sense. Like, Laretha is just like a random-ass name for a woman who goes by Cookie. So, that's perfect. But as far as, you know, Vivica's, you know, random appearance as her older sister Candace, married to a white guy, comes to tell Cookie that Carol has, you know, gone on another druggy binge and abandoned her kids at Candace's house, and Lucius is still being Lucius, because he literally just signed the rights to Empire over to Mimi, whether he knows it or not, and there's, of course, the budding drama between Hakeem, his new thing, the Spanish girl whose name I forget off the top of my head, and of course Anika, alias Boo Boo Kitty. Because you know, I'm giving away plot lines, not plot lines, I'm just giving away what I've seen on it. So if you haven't watched Empire this week yet, turn the show off now. If you have, you already know what I'm talking about, so let's laugh together. Hakeem actually hooked up with Boo Boo Kitty at the end of last season, and apparently now she is with a baby lion. Ain't talking about Lucius's. Definitely ain't talking about Andre's, because Andre ain't even got a baby lion, if you know what I mean, because Rhonda lying about her pregnancy. But there's she's pregnant. You know, she tried to tell Hakeem. Hakeem basically hit her with the most wickedest curve of all time. So we still homies, right? I think you dope. How do you get played by the youngest and corniest member of the Lion family? That had to be humiliating for her. Which leads us to the end of the episode where Hakeem sends his new thing home in a black SUV, you know, G-style, you know, with a with a driver, and the driver is none other than Boo Boo Kitty, wearing a gray wig. Like, what kind of fatal attraction snapped foolishness is going to happen with this love triangle? Like, something strange is going to happen to that little Spanish thing, and Hakeem is going to have nobody to blame but himself, because he's, you know, playing games with a mentally unstable woman who happens to also be with child now. This is what Empire has become now. I mean, granted, we still have Jamal. You know, now he's got one of those song deals with Pepsi, which turns out to be interesting in itself, that this goes beyond the script. Like, this is real life now. Like, Pepsi is like all in on Empire, like, you know, with ad rights and, you know, ad execs appearing on the show, you know, Jamal, government name Jussie Smollett, getting, you know, his music out there thanks to Pepsi. It's there. Like Pepsi is all in on Empire in real life. So that, these next two episodes are going to be interesting to watch from these standpoints. One, obviously what happens with Anika and Hakeem from this point forward, because at some point she's got to tell him that she went number one on the stick, and the stick gave her an indicator that she is indeed carrying a bun in the oven, a baby lion. Number two, what happens with Mimi? Because she's definitely planning, she either planned or has been planning a hostile takeover of Empire and kicking Lucius Lyon out of the picture. And will that force Lucius to, you know, close ranks and, you know, form another uneasy alliance with his ex-wife Cookie and join the Lyon dynasty? That is another thing, you know, to look for. And finally, what the hell is going on with Rhonda Lyon? Did she have a baby or what? Because ever since she announced she was pregnant, she ain't gained one damn pound. Not in her face, not in her stomach, nowhere. 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 She just out here lying, be lying, dog. And how is Dre going to handle this? That should be fun. because we know Andre, you know, is an easygoing guy. like he can't even handle Freda Gats, for crying out loud. Which reminds me, Freda Gats, shouts out to Breezy, Philly native, former Delaware resident, now cooking it up on Empire's Freda Gats. She won that battle last night. She won that battle. Everybody knows she won that battle. If we're not, storyline alone. You know, cut the storyline shit out. She was definitely the better rapper. But, of course, for the purpose of the writers, you know, and pushing things along, Hakeem won that battle. Which, you know, good in hell, well, he did. Freda Gats won that battle, dog. She won that battle. Moving on, because we got about 5 minutes left before I decide to play a song to get us up out of here. Titans-Jaguars. The only thing I can tell you about tonight is the Jags at 3-6 are a game out of first place, because the Texans and the Colts are tied at 4-5. The Titans have Marcus Mariota. They also fired Ken Woodson, who's it earlier in the season, and turned the team over to Mike Mularkey. And the Titans seem to be playing better, but they're still not. They're still miles away and players away from where they need to be. The most interesting thing about tonight is these color uniforms that, you know, Nike is sponsoring for the NFL. I mean, if you saw it last Thursday, the Bills were wearing all red, Jets were wearing all green. The Jaguars will be wearing a honey mustard tonight, and the Titans will be wearing all baby blue. So if you have any sort of, like, seasickness or, you know, depth perception, color blindness issues with your vision, this football game tonight probably won't be for you. You can guarantee it. But if I had to make a pick, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Jaguars. Because just the AFC South just needs a little bit more nuttiness to it. And to have the Jaguars a half game out of first place going into the weekend is about as nutty as it could possibly get. So I'm picking the Jaguars tonight. Just because. Just for fun's sake. Okay, and finally to close out the show, today is the 11th anniversary of the Malice at the Palace. It was a basketball fight between the Detroit Pistons and the Indiana Pacers in Auburn Hills, Michigan on November 19th, 2004. I'd be glad to tell you where I was. I was in my dorm room at Delaware State. I fell asleep on that game, actually, and I woke up, you know, because I had to, and I was ready to go back to sleep because I had to be up early on the road to be in Washington, D.C. the next morning for the Del State Howard football game. And as I wake up, you know, I see Ron Artest foul Ben Wallace. Okay, nothing major about that. I mean, the was it? I think the Pacers were winning. Yeah, the Pacers were up by 20-something. Either way, Artest fouls Wallace. Ben Wallace, who doesn't get his fair share of the blame for the Malice in the Palace, goes on full drama queen mode, shoving Artest, trying to get at him, so on and so forth. They break this up. Ron Artest goes, lays on the table. Somebody throws a half a cup of beer at him, and all hell breaks loose. Like, watching that in live action, I can't explain how crazy it was. Like, I just remember staring at my TV in my dorm room, just gawking, just like, this really happened. This is really happening. Jermaine O'Neal sliding across the floor to punch a guy in the mouth. Ron Artest going into the stands. The geek dude, just the look of sheer terror on his face. Crazy, 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 crazy. And then we found out about the suspensions the next morning when we were at Howard University, and it was just like, wow, that was insane. My only thing is, I wish the NBA would get, you know, stop being funny style and let ESPN give us a 30 for 30 on the Malice at the Palace. That's all I care about. Like, the fight's over with. The fight happened 11 years ago. Everybody's moved on. Ron Artest has since won an NBA championship, changed his name to Meta World Peace. Fans now have a better understanding of you can't go messing with these grown-ass athletes. So let's talk about it. Let's reminisce. There's no shame in remembering the Malice at the Palace, because, boy, that was some fun. Hopefully one day ESPN will be able to give us what we want, which is the 30 for 30. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time today. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air. iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Don't forget Facebook, facebook.com/All Subjects Everything. We will see you guys tomorrow on Friday. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Y'all be good, or be good at it.